Okay, committee of the whole come to order. If we're ready, Representative, or excuse me, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor. A couple of quick announcements. Before we get going, the photographers for taking photos is here until tomorrow afternoon, but if you have not gotten your picture taken, he is somewhere downstairs in room, anybody know what room? Okay. Basement conference room. That's what I thought. But he is down there, so if you have not yet gotten your official portrait taken, sometime this afternoon while we're just going through business, if you find time to slip away, you can go do that, or be sure to find him definitely by tomorrow. And on top of that, tomorrow's group picture will be not in the afternoon. It will be this tomorrow morning at 9:45 before we gavel in, and we'll be meeting on the west steps. Those are out past the auditor's office and the Secretary of State's offices going that way. So west steps for that, 9:45 a.m. tomorrow. And while I'm here, I'll just a friendly reminder of caucus dues. If you haven't gotten those in, feel free to drop it by my desk anytime while we're here. And also, your candy jars that you've seen put out today. If you are unsatisfied with the contents of them, you are more than welcome to go back to the supply room, and there's a box of candy back there. And so you can swap out whatever they currently put in there for anything that you'd like, whatever is available. So keep that in mind as well. I think that's all. I'll give another reminder of photos when we adjourn this afternoon. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 13 from the Travel Committee. An act relating to state parks and cultural resources, authorizing use of certain fee income for general operations and maintenance of department facilities, creating an account, providing for interest to accrue in the account, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 13, State Parks Use of Fees, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz. Signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 13 do pass. And I further move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment. On page 2, line 10 of the bill, we're deleting the word department. So the bill reads department facilities, which is not defined in statute. And we're inserting the words outdoor recreation areas and facilities, which is defined in 36-4-103. So that's simply the amendment, and if there are no questions, I'll call for the question on the amendment.
Do we have any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Bill 13, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment has passed. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there are two Committee of the Whole amendments that we would like to deal with after the explanation of the bill, if that's okay with you. And I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from the land of coal.
Okay, Representative Scott. Is that right?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Representative Clem. I told you I would do that a couple times. I apologize. Representative Clem.
That's quite all right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 13 and ask your favorable consideration. This bill deals with a capital construction account that's really getting a new name. And to just clarify, if you look there on page 1 on line 15 and also page 2, line number 1, you will see that the capital construction account is strike through. You also find that it has created a new account. It states into an account within the special revenue fund hereby created as the state parks account. Really, if signed, this bill will create a state parks account, formerly the capital construction account, as noted here just previously, in which fees generated within the division will be deposited, and any interest earned in this fund will return to this account, as suggested by LSO, as this is similar with other accounts of this nature. Of the fees generated, which is approximately $1.9 billion on your fiscal note, though it averages about $2 million, this bill will allow the division to use up to 25% of fees for operations and maintenance for the uses needed discussed above. Currently, statutes only allow for the use of these capital construction Current statutes only allow for the use of these fees for capital construction, major maintenance, and interpretation. Examples of capital construction range from new construction and upgrades of roads, bridges, water, sewer, electric, utilities, etc., as well as interpretation of this, as well as historic restoration. Keep in mind that these state parks and historic sites are a lot like cities. They have their own extensive infrastructure, roads, sewer, water. For example, Glendale State Park has 6 water systems, a major sewer system, and several small sewer systems, and nearly 90 structures. Resource management with pine beetle, weeds, fire, IAS, cultural, law enforcement, fire, search and rescue, interpretation, events, recreation, collections, museums, etc. And so really what this bill would allow us to do is it would allow the it would allow 25% of the fees collected to be used for these operation and maintenance, kind of the day-to-day wear and tear, the cleanup. That's what these funds would be allowed to do. The division follows the state's definition of major maintenance. If you can see on here, we look here on page number 2, line 4, and line number 5, 3, 4, and 5. The bill reads, and may be expended by the Department for Capital Construction Projects, Major Maintenance, and Site Interpretation. If you read on down line 6 through 10, this is where the interest on these funds in the account shall accrue in the account. Not more than 25% of these funds in the account may also be expended for general operations and maintenance of department facilities as approved by the legislature. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Any further discussion? I've got Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess a question back to the committee would be, is if the department has the discretion to use those funds for the things listed here, do they still have to, will that still be part of their budget, and will that budget still have to go through JAC? I'm a little concerned, and it probably does, but I'm a little concerned that we just don't give a revenue stream here that state parks can use for yurts or things that we may crop up that we don't have any control over.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer that question, the division has demonstrated a lack of funding available for operations and maintenance. They've taken several budget cuts, and really what they're trying to do here is they're trying to be flexible with the money that they have. And so that's what this account allows. Now, they don't have to use up to 25%, although they may. And so if they have the funding to go ahead and provide the operation and maintenance, they wouldn't have to use that 25%.
Chairman Madden? You want Steve? Okay. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To kind of add to that answer a little bit by a representative from Campbell County, we as a legislature appropriate all these funds. So these would be called special revenue funds because they're not general funds. They're off of park use fees. But you can read the statute where it says it goes into a capital construction account. Well, they come to our appropriations committee, to this legislature, every year asking for major maintenance funds, and we consistently turn them down. So, frankly, it's been something that we've thought about as a appropriations committee. We do have an amendment drafted that if this bill fails, I think it's important enough because what we have done in effect is created this capital account where they can only use to build new trails. And so they can't use it to maintain their existing trails. And they said, you know, we'd like to maintain what we have and maybe not necessarily keep building out more and more trails at all of our parks. So strongly in support of the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too support the bill, but I think there's a very last sentence of the bill, there's some language problems, because I think when you're applying a percent, you're applying it to a stock instead of a flow. And let me give you an example. If you wanted to really interpret this the way it literally reads, is that not more than 25% of the funds in the account may be also expended for general operations and maintenance of outdoor facilities. Okay. Well, if they take 25% of it out, there's still 75% of the account is left there, which you, with one more reading of this sentence, you could say 25% of that can be taken out for maintenance as well. So I didn't bring an amendment or anything because I just caught it at noon hour. But I think if you had 25% of the funds flowing into the account, then it's clear, because you can't apply a percent to a stock and look at it time after time, but you can't flow. That's all I have.
Representative Clem, did you want to respond? Or?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's something we can certainly look at as this bill progresses, is the change in that language. Thank you.
Okay. We do have, if we have more discussion, that's fine, but we do have two Committee of the Whole amendments. Chairman Lockhart? Yeah. Yeah, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you were working with this bill, was there any look at how much money this really amounts to in these state parks? There's one I'm familiar with that has somewhat of an honor system where you put a couple of bucks in or a check or something, and it goes in there, but it seemed like a pretty shaky system to me. When they have somebody that's at the gate, clearly the money probably gets in the right pocket, but otherwise, how would you know? And is there a prevalence of that kind of thing where we're not collecting what we have posted as the fees for use of the park?
Representative Clem? Representative Yagi?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In answer to that question, I wish I had the amount of money that they are collecting, but that didn't seem to be a major draw on the funds that they were having. My comment on this one, while I've got the mic, is having served there, they have three different categories, and we're talking about two of them, the capital construction and the maintenance. I'm all for this because I think they're always short on the maintenance side, and then they have this capital construction. Well, with the capital construction, you can only use it to build things. Well, if they're short in taking care of what they have, I think this just makes sense to take the capital construction money, put it into operation and maintenance, so they're not building more that they can't take care of. So this, we were working on that. I think we've worked on it for a couple of years. And this is just a good thing to allow them this to do this. And I think it helps them utilize the money that they have and not have to build something or just lose the money. That's all they can do with it. Well, they're not going to lose it. It stays in the account. But I just think this makes good sense to take capital construction to take care of what they have. So I'm way in favor of this. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you want to look at this bill, think of it as an insurance policy. They collect the money. They can look around if they have operation and maintenance needs over construction. Then what happens is they can adjust their budget. They can get the money to paint the bathrooms, to fix the sewer systems, to fix the potholes and that kind of stuff. If they don't, if they have enough money in operation and maintenance, then they can build the backlog of projects that local people want in their state parks. To answer the other question, and I'm not an expert on this, but there's several different kinds of ways that the state gains money in its state parks. In certain places, they have the person at the gate tour that they collect. Others, it's an honor system, and others, it's free. And it's my understanding that it all goes into a pot to take care of the greatest need at that time. And I may be wrong on that last part, but I'd be surprised if I was.
Okay. Is there any more general discussion? Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, this is new to me, so here we go. During discussion in the committee, I think the number that I had heard from Mr. Simpson, I think it was. Staff. Was $1.9 million comes in into this account, and this would allow them $450,000. So hopefully that helps.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Clem? Okay, are we ready to dispense with the get to the Committee of the Whole Amendments? Then Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to House Bill 13. Ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, as ugly as this looks, as many words as this looks, it's basically just trying to tidy up a stranded piece of statute that directs money into the very account that we just eliminated in the bill. So all we're doing with this entire amendment is down on line 36. Recall we struck the capital construction count in the bill and replaced it with a count called the state parks account. Well, folks, we have to tidy that up elsewhere in statute. This happens to be one of those places where funds will flow and be utilized in the same way. It's just another amenities fee, same as the access fees, but this is just a tidy up that we discovered as we were working the bill. So if there's no questions on the amendment, I would call for the question.
Do we have any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one? Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Committee of the Whole number one has been adopted. Okay. We now have a second amendment. Representative Freeman.
This is also a housekeeping bill. If you look at the last sentence on there, it says, as approved by the legislature. It could be construed that we would have to approve all the general operations and maintenance of the facilities. Basically, what I got scared at is where they said, then the legislature would have to determine what color we're going to paint each of the bathrooms. So by deleting this, it goes to where we have now, and I would ask for your favorable vote on the amendment.
Okay, we're on Committee of the Whole Amendment number two. Is there any further discussion? Okay, question hasn't been called. And all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number two, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee of the Whole Amendment number two has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Petroff's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it will do so with the recommendation that Bill number 13 do pass the Committee of the Whole. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. House Bill number 13 is passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report for the purpose of reading in additional bills.
Okay, you have heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. You need that?
No, but just leave me here. You'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just maybe to explain what we're doing so that everyone understands, we can't consider bills until they've been read in. There's a motion that's been passed. So what we're going to do is go through the formalities of going out of committee of the whole. We're going to read in some bills. Then we're going to go back into the committee of the whole. And Representative Greer will reassume the chair. So maybe we can withhold our raucous applause for him until after he's completed his day, which is a little ways away yet. The reading clerk will read the report.
Mr. Speaker, the committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 14, recommended do pass. House Bill 16, recommended do pass. House Bill 3, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 55, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 65, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 64, recommended do pass. House Bill 40, recommended do pass. House Bill 37, recommended do pass. Representative Berger moved that the House rise and sit again. House Bill 13, amended. Amended. And recommended do pass. And it's signed Representative Greer, Chairman.
Representative Greer.
Yes. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 17, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters, signed Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 38, PAC Campaign Limits and Funding, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Danswanitzer, two noes, Representatives Byrd and Gay, signed by Representative Danswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits, repeal, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanitzer, signed by Representative Danswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 58, Developmental Disability Services Transition Grants, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, Wilson, one no vote. Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman.
Representative Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, if you'll forgive me while I dust a little bit more rust off, I'd like to refer this bill again to your committee, number 2, Appropriations. The bill I'd like to re-refer is House Bill number 58. Developmental Disability Services Transition Grants.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 58 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Are there any other re-referrals? Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider further bills.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bills that we will consider next are House Bill 67, 38, 39, and 17. Okay, I'll repeat it one more time. House Bill 67, 38, 39, and 17. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. You will have to excuse me just a little bit because I don't have the committee chairs in front of me. We'll get this. So the next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 67. The reading clerk will read the bill. I'll just listen. Yes.
House Bill 67 from the Appropriations Committee. An act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System, amending provisions of the Wyoming Retirement Act to provide consistency in the Act, amending a definition to allow local elected officials to decline participation in the retirement system as specified, amending a definition to specify that firefighters and the Wyoming Army National Guard are eligible to participate in a pension plan as specified, amending calculations for past due employer contribution payments and redeposit of contributions under the system, updating archaic language, repealing a provision requiring a written election for employees of the legislature to participate in the retirement system, repealing archaic language designating a program coordinator for the deferred compensation program, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 67, Wyoming Retirement System Amendments, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 67 do pass, and I further move the recommendation of the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. Folks, Mr. Chairman, if it'd be okay, I think we'd like to hold the vote on the Standing Committee amendment until the bill's explained. You can see, and I think we'll explain the amendment as it fits into the bill. Members, this is a cleanup bill for the Wyoming retirement system, and for new members, just a short history. There was no home committee for our Wyoming retirement system until 4 or 5 years ago, and then that responsibility was given by management council to the Appropriations Committee. So we are the home committee that now they report to. We've changed several statutes. We've had a lot of activity in this area to make sure. We've done a great deal of work, and so we're in. This is a continuation of yearly retirement bills that you'll see as committee bills from the Joint Appropriations Committee. Now, we're fortunate in the legislature that we have a liaison, one of our members, and a senator as well, as a liaison to the Wyoming Retirement System, Mr. Chairman. And we've had the good representative from Carbon County has been a very active liaison. He's done a great job for our committee and for us collectively as a body, and he's been very active. You know, years ago, we'd have liaisons that would never go to the meetings, never knew the issues. And so we were a very ill-informed body on the state retirement system and very important issue. So we probably have more knowledge in this body, and we have more activity and certainly more involvement and over the last 4 or 5 years. And so this retirement system cleanup amendments will be floor managed by Representative Burkhart from Carbon County, who is our retirement liaison. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn it over to the good representative from Carbon County.
Hey, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick clarification. The good representative from District 40 also serves as a liaison to the retirement system. along with two from the Senate. And we try to make it to all of those retirement board meetings. I think I spent more time at those than I did appropriations meetings in the last year. So, brothers and sisters of the 63rd, this is the first of several retirement bills you'll see this session. And as the good chairman says, we pay a lot of attention to retirement and the pensions and that in Wyoming. A lot more than you may think from reading newspaper articles and that. This has become at sometimes a daily discussion. House Bill 67 is what's called a cleanup bill. These are changes the retirement board asked for that they need to make their job a little easier. It doesn't cut benefits. It doesn't increase benefits or anything like that. It does three things mainly. It cleans up archaic language. And as you go through the statutes looking at your own bills, you'll notice there's in throughout the statute some real archaic language. Makes it clear that interests charged are compounded interest. And it also ensures the retirement system does not sustain an actuarial loss when a member reinstates service. Because in Wyoming, you can reinstate your service in the retirement system if you leave state employment and then return to state employment. And that's a real quick explanation, contrary to what the reader read, which seemed like the Bible of retirement. So we'll go through the bill and that. And it's a compilation of numerous portions of the retirement statutes. So we've just put them all in one bill for you. On page 2, 93402, definitions. Actuarial equivalent amount, as you can see, changes some very old archaic language that dates back to 1971. They don't do these calculations anymore, so we're going to remove it. And it uses actuarial assumptions determined by the board. Now, to answer a question that I know will come up, the retirement system is governed by a board of directors, has an executive director, and that. And they're the ones who come up with the actuarial determinations. On this, life expectancy and some other things, those have to come through this body for approval ultimately. So it's not that they go out there and randomly roam around and change things. There is a control on it. Okay. Page 3, change state legislature to legislative service office. For those of you who are new, as legislators, we don't get retirement. So goes down and defines what member means and does not mean. I guess I shouldn't have said that. You're all happy until you knew that. Okay. Talks about how you elect membership in the retirement system or not. I'm on page 4, Romanette 12. Removes the term regular interest and replaces it with just interest, and also adds rate or rates. Next big one is there were separate statutes for firefighters, one in the Air National Guard, one in the Army National Guard, and it just says they're all the same now for retirement purposes. 93413 talks about contributions and transfer accounts, and it was previously stated in those that the interest rate is 8% per month, and it changes that to the assumed rate of return as determined by the board, compounded annually. The board determines what the return rate is on the retirement investments, and if you follow retirement, that's a item of discussion in every article of what the exact rate is. The board sets the rates. They review it about every 5 years. If things change dramatically, they might review it every 3 years. But this is the number that they assume for calculations of what all the investments will return. And currently it's 7.75%, not 8, which actually makes the system a little sounder financially. Okay. And that it's compounded annually. And that's if people reinstate, that's the amount they'll pay so that they aren't overpaying. Okay. Page 6, 93415, service credit. It replaces, just eliminates some wording in there, on computed on the basis of actuarial assumptions approved by the board, because that's already covered. And that's for contributions. Okay, on page 8, 93424, talks about converting it and who employees who withdraw and then come back into the system, that they have to redeposit a lump sum amount and how that amount is calculated. And that's it, so that they can rejoin the program. And they put money back in there to keep the program sound. It's an equivalent amount that they would have contributed had they kept working. And they reestablish those service credits. Okay. Any redeposit payment pursuant to this section, and I'm on page 9, line 9, shall be made not later than. And this is where I think we can handle the amendment, because this is the first one. Not later than 10 years following the date of resumption, or prior to retirement, whichever comes first. So we just increase that out, give the people a chance to take a little longer to put it in there. 7 years just didn't seem like the right number. Page 10, line 5, again, regular interest rates. Regular interest becomes interest. Line 21, change the 7 to 10. And that will be consistent throughout here. Page 11, again, regular interest goes to, becomes interest in two places. Okay. Page 12, line 19, again, the regular interest wording. Page 13, line 8, drops the term regular. Now, also talked about eliminating some provisions that are archaic, and that comes in section 2, especially for the new people. There are several sections in the retirement statutes that this repeals. And, okay, let me, okay, removes references to program coordinator for the defined benefit contribution, repeals provision requiring a written election for employees of the legislature to participate in the retirement system, and that is what those mainly do. So at this point, I'll move standing committee amendment number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration, and if there are no questions, call for the question. Question.
Well, we're on standing committee amendment number 1. Is there any discussion? Okay, the question having been called, all those in favor, standing committee amendment number 1, please say aye. Opposed, no. Okay, the amendment's been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions, I call for the question. Okay.
The representative
has a question.
Representative Burkhart, we'll allow some discussion on this with your permission. So, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on, I think, the last page. Oh, page 11. For the representative on... This deals, 93709 deals with refund of contributions, and I remember that one time we had a discussion saying we were paying way too much interest back, and I see you've got interest written here, but is there a fixed rate of interest still, or is it an interest rate that's actuarially determined, or, you know, and I guess I'll have to look at it again, and I'm wondering if 93709 is inconsistent with what section was that when a person signs back in? 93424. But if you could just answer the interest rate for now, and then we can talk about the whether it's inconsistent, those two sections.
Representative Burkhardt, do you want to answer that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, that section only changed the term regular interest to interest. The interest would be what's actuarially determined, which is currently 7.75%, is what it is. I see the look on the good representative's face. That's what they're using as the actuarial interest.
Chairman Madden, just go ahead and finish this question. Chairman Madden.
Follow up on that, Mr. Chairman, please. That means that when somebody's worked for 10 years and they want to check out, they get 7.75% interest, no matter if we've only made 3% interest over that period?
Representative Burkhardt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, that would be correct. They set it, and that's what they use. They modify it about every 5 years, three if the market doesn't work right, and that is a decrease from the 8% they had been using.
Okay. Representative Schwartz. Do make sure your mic's on, please.
Thank you. Little things I need to learn. I appreciate your indulgence. I'm a little confused on page 3. At the top, we have a Q followed, and I've got the statute, the original statute in front of me. And then there's V11, which in the statute appears later, and then capital letter N. So I think it's just a little cleanup, but the sequence here is not quite correct as I look at it.
Representative Burkhardt, could you answer that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the good representative please repeat that? I was distracted. Thank you.
I kind of thought that might be the case, Representative.
I apologize.
Representative Schwartz, please ask that question again for him.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. So on page 3, if the good representative from Carbon County could look, at the top of the page we have a Q followed then on line 4 by VII, which in the original statute appears much farther along, and then on line 10, capital letter N. And I just think we need to clean that up a little bit.
Chairman Harshman, do you want?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on page 2, Mr. Chairman, Romanet 6 is the definition of an employer, and that goes through all of our definitions in statute. And it talks about, A is the Wyoming Department of Board or Commission, B, counties and memorial hospitals, C, municipal corporations, D, school districts, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes down clear to Q, and it says, in current statute, the state legislature. Well, we are not the employer. It is the legislative service office. So it's our staff and the legislative service. So it's simply changing that name from state legislature as the employer to legislative service office as the employer. So that's where that's what Q on the top of 3 is. Now on Romanet 7, where it says member, this defines all the members in statute, and member includes a full-time, regular, part-time employee or employer, and it goes through all those, what member means. And A is an employee who is compensated, B, an employee who is reimbursed on a per diem basis, et cetera, et cetera. And then we add, so these are additions then, Mr. Chairman, on line 10, letter N, an elected member of a county, municipal, or school district commission, council, or board, if the commission, council, or board on which the elected member serves participates in the system. And then, so these are definitions then that are brought into new statute. So there are two separate parts. One's the employer and one's the member.
Representative Burkhardt, anything to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just remember that in our numbering convention, after the original number, we use small letters, then we use Romanets, then we use capital letters, and then capital Roman numerals is the numbering convention. So this is in order, because Romanet 6 comes before Romanet 7.
Representative Schwartz, anything further?
Mr. Chairman, I stand corrected and am pleased to have made my first appearance at the microphone at this level.
Well, we did well, and we appreciate the discussion. And Representative Patton, I'm sorry, but the majority floor leader just waved his hand, or excuse me, the speaker waved his hand at me. So, Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to explain for those that might not know, this business of Romanet comes up. And what is a Romanet? Well, you have a Roman numeral, and then you have subparagraphs that are, and so the Roman numerals are capitals, and then you have the other ones like XIII. And those are Romanets. So one time I explored that with Mr. Dobus when he was the reader here, since he was an English professor at LCCC, and he explained to me that et, Roman et on the end, and et in our language has two different connotations. One is small, like kitchenette, and the other one is the female, like dudette. That's where dudette comes from. And so Romanet is the minor character of a Roman numeral. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well,
thank you, Mr. Speaker. Chairman Patton. Chairman Patton.
I don't really want to touch that. I would like the sponsors to help out on Section 2 on page 13. Where we are deleting or amending completely a couple of sections without having the ability to read those. What I do understand has some common complications to it, and that is understanding. You are not changing the program from a defined minute program to a defined contribution program. So we keep getting so much work and comments on our retirement plan that it's not actuarially sound, and so now we're going to change the game a little bit, and maybe we can have an understanding that it's better than some people, particularly foreign, have an evaluation of the retirement program. But my question or asking for a little bit more of an explanation is of what we're doing with the program by eliminating the defined benefit part of the program or any reference to that particular kind of a program so that we don't confuse it with the 401B. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill doesn't address defined contribution versus defined benefit programs. It's only clean up language to the existing program. We've heard a lot of hype on, you know, the difference between the two and a lot of newspaper articles and blogs and that. This is only cleanup of the existing plan. I think probably for everyone here, the retirement system is having some meetings with legislators, and that would be a good point to discuss those kind of issues. But this only cleans up the current plan without changing it to any major changes in it.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Okay, question being called. Those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 67 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. House Bill 67 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, repealing Wyoming's Political Action Committee campaign contribution limits, allowing organizations to bear PAC-related costs as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 38, PAC campaign limits and funding, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer. Those who voted no, Representatives Byrd and Gay, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
Okay, you have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 38 do pass. There is no standing committee amendment. House Bill 38 does two things, ladies and gentlemen. The first is it removes the cap on PAC contribution limits in Wyoming. This statute was placed in law 2 years ago in this body. It technically wasn't scheduled to be utilized until the 2016 election, so thus we're eliminating a change which hadn't actually taken place in Wyoming law yet. The thinking on this part of the bill was the interim committee believed that having a cap on a PAC doesn't really stop money from entering politics because you can form multiple PACs to get around the system. Certainly there is no cap on political party contributions or a cap on an individual's right to donate to their own campaign. And so the belief of the interim committee was this change allows for greater parity for a candidate to be able to compete against a wealthier candidate in an election. The other part of the bill there on page 2, lines 15 through 17, clarifies a provision in statute on how PACs manage and raise funds from their members and how they utilize these funds to assist in managing their PACs and doing the fundraising for the PACs. We passed a bill here in 2011, which most of us thought clarified that process, but then we found there are some attorneys in a far, far away place that shall not be named, said it wasn't clear enough. So we're clarifying our previous clarification with some clearer language. I would be happy to stand for any questions in either part of the bill. Thank you.
Any discussion? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question on the repealer on line 19, section M. And my recollection is this was a provision that this body just passed, 2 years ago, I guess, where we raised in that legislation, we raised the amount of the PAC contributions that were allowed in exchange for other changes in limits throughout the campaign finance bill. And is that the change we're talking about? We're basically wanting to reverse what we just did 2 years ago.
Chairman Zwanitzer, answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Speaker Pro Tem is certainly correct. He would know as it was his bill. Since we discussed the provision in the interim, members of the interim committee felt it best that the provision we placed 2 years ago really didn't do anything because we had testimony in interim that some people who run PACs to get around this would just form multiple PACs. You know, they'd have Acme PAC 1, PAC 2, PAC 3, PAC 4. And so when there's money in politics, people will always find a way around the PAC limit. So it is more fair, if you will, to just eliminate the limit altogether.
Okay. Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. And I'm getting advice all over about what I can say and what I can't say. And so if the good chairman of corporations will bear with me, my question is simply about thinking about what we did 2 years in relation to that famous or infamous, if you will, Supreme Court decision that has the same initials of a university south of us. So I am curious about how this new bill or our new statute complies with or doesn't with that Supreme Court decision. What do you think?
Good. Chairman Zwanitzer, go ahead.
So, Mr. Chair, the next piece of legislation forthcoming specifically deals with that Supreme Court decision. This, however, is a PAC law which is reserved to Wyoming, and so while, you know, that may play situational awareness in the nation's consciousness of what we should be doing with campaign finance, specifically we're still allowed to have, you know, PAC limits here in Wyoming. Each state can set what their PAC limits are.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think this is a good bill because I think it helps even the playing field. I do have one question, though, on the repealer part. As I recall, that bill that we put on there put a limit on contributions from PACs, and it also raised the limit that individuals were allowed to donate to a campaign. Does that repeal the increase we made, or does it not touch the change that we made to what individuals are allowed to donate?
Representative or Chairman Zwanitzer?
It doesn't change the amount an individual can donate to a PAC or to another's campaign, an individual can donate an unlimited amount to their own campaign or to an immediate family member, but there is still a cap on what an individual can place to another campaign.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to take a chance here. Another piece of that bill from 2 years ago, and the reason we put the PAC limit in was because the lack of a PAC limit was being used to circumvent the individual limits. So you'd funnel the money through the PAC and it would get back to an individual to avoid the individual limits. And I may not be stating that perfectly, so somebody feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. In addition, I don't think the argument that people will just set up multiple PACs or have been setting up multiple PACs is really valid. Let them do it. They'll increase their costs, but at least it'll be transparent. And then you can tell by looking at the names of the people involved that the PACs are related. So if you set up 10 PACs and they're all formed by the same group of people, at least we can see what's going on. And it's very important. And it's not a First Amendment issue. PACs don't have First Amendment rights.
Any further discussion? Chairman Zwanzer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Minority Leader is certainly correct. For the 10-year look back on how this has all evolved, we had a case, I won't say, in the 2008 election where technically two people formed a PAC. One gave, I think, roughly $11,000. The other person gave a minimal amount, and that money all went to a certain county commission candidate in the middle of the state. And so then we went to work on how to craft a solution to that problem in the 2010 cycle. There is some contention, disagreement, especially with members on this committee and the other side of this building, on the philosophical implications of how these, of campaign finance, I guess is a nice way to put it. We heard lots of people in the interim who run these PACs, as well as the groups that promote freedom in campaign financing. And so it was believed as part of this bill to just remove the cap on PACs altogether, because we did have two PACs that you would all recognize in this state come forward and say they would just form multiple PACs. And, yeah, we can trace it, or we could have one PAC, and certainly that wouldn't be an issue. It's just, the finance reporting burden would be greater on each one of those, and that may be, enough to dissuade them from doing so. But that's how this evolved. I would say one other thing. There are two parts in this bill. The other part really is important on how PACs can fundraise and manage their money, so I don't want to see this bill killed today. If that's the issue with the legislation, maybe we could have a second or third reading amendment to take that portion of it out or further debate that. Because I know this body really did make a strong statement 2 years ago in putting these limits in place, and then we compromised with the other body. But that's the historical background, and I would at least ask, if you don't like that portion, we could bring a second reading amendment, but keep the bill alive, because the other part of it is important to many groups in the state.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, just a really brief timeout. That's a great segue with what the chairman just said, but notice in this bill on page 1, we're talking about 2225-102, and we start with paragraph K, because that's the only part that's in play here is paragraphs K and then Romanets 1 and 2. But if you're really concerned about the context of this thing, you need to get in the green book on 2225-102 and see what A through, what comes before K, whatever comes before K, what A through there says. So if you want to look at this in context, you're only looking at a part of a longer statute. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill 38 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 38 passes the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 39 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, repealing Wyoming's aggregate campaign contribution limit, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits Repeal, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 39 do pass. Brothers and sisters of the 63rd, House Bill 39 has technically become a statutory cleanup bill at this point. This is based on the U.S. Supreme Court decision last year. Our aggregate campaign contribution limit became unconstitutional. There was a lawsuit initiated last spring as we started this interim process, and it did result in an agreement between all of the parties that this provision of Wyoming law is no longer to be followed. So by this point, we're simply removing the statute from our law books entirely, as it's no longer being followed or appropriate to have in our statutes based on the U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 39 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 39 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 17, the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, modifying provisions relating to stalking protection orders, providing for protection orders for victims of sexual assault, providing definitions, specifying confidentiality requirements, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 17, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinal, Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendations that Bill Number 17 do pass. And the floor manager of the bill will be that fine new representative from over the hill. Oh, yeah, there he is. Representative Pelkey.
Okay. Representative Pelkey, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 17 is the work product of the Joint Judiciary Interim Committee, and it addresses a potentially fatal flaw in existing statute, and does so in a much more elegant fashion than the measure introduced during last year's session. Under current Wyoming statutes, only those victims who are sexually abused or assaulted by a household member or intimate partner are eligible for protection of a protection order under the Domestic Violence Protection Order statutes, which are Wyoming Statute 35-21-101. Wyoming statutes also provide victims of stalking to seek a protection order under Wyoming Statute 6-2-506. Unfortunately, the gap in existing statute is that those victims of a sexual assault who's assaulted by someone who is not a domestic partner or family member have no recourse and no protection from the courts in seeking a protection order simply to keep that person from making contact after the assault. Right now, that would cover probably some studies indicate that
93% of juvenile sexual assault victims knew their attacker. Of that, 34.2% were family members and would be eligible for family violence protection orders, depending on the relationship. 58.7% were acquaintances and probably would fall through the cracks on that. This bill simply addresses that gap in existing statute and affords that same protection to victims of sexual assault whose where the perpetrator doesn't fall within the definitions of the family violence or stalking order.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On in support of House Bill 17, just some additional background. As members probably are aware, this is a civil order that would be put in place versus a criminal action that would be in place. And the as discussed from my colleague from across the mountain, we currently have civil orders that are in place for domestic violence and for stalking. And those have specific delineated components that have to be met in order for a judge to issue those. The benefit of these orders are that it allows law enforcement, when these orders are violated, to make an immediate arrest of the individual that violates these orders. If a criminal prosecution were to go forward and a bond condition were to be put in place by a circuit or a district court judge and that bond was violated, under current law, you would have to go back to that court to get an order to have that person arrested or taken into custody. So these are valuable protective measures for victims. They're valuable in the sense that you have immediate results. And this is an excellent bill to bridge the gap for these sexual victims that we have throughout the entire state. So I would urge support of this bill. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Pelkey or okay. Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did have one question, and maybe the good friend from Cody might have just answered.
Representative Moniz, could you just get the microphone a little closer to you? Thank
okay. You. On page 3, line 11 and 12, where they've eliminated district court, why did you eliminate district court?
I believe that when the statute was originally passed by the Wyoming legislature, there were some counties in which these cases were handled by the district court simply because there wasn't a circuit court available. But virtually every county in the state has a circuit court where a victim can seek protection. And the district court was a fallback that's no longer necessary.
Yeah, Representative Pelkey, did you want to respond or did you need to?
No, excuse me.
Did I
breach protocol? Is out of line, so.
Now, I was receiving very valuable information from our chief clerk, I'll have you know. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill 17 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. House Bill 17 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
I have one more thing to do. You have heard the motion. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Oh, it passes. Committee of the Whole, rise and report.
Yep. Yeah, he'll read the report.
You didn't hear.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole having under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill number 67, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill number 38, recommended do pass. House Bill number 39, recommended do pass. House Bill number 17, recommended do pass, signed by Representative Greer, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Committee announcements. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee, meets tomorrow, Friday, January 16th, 10 minutes upon noon recess in room H17, where we will hear House Bill 33, Workers' Compensation Premiums Experience Modification.
Chairman Zwanzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in H-17 to hear the following bills, House Bill 22, House Bill 74, and House Bill 48.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, January 16th at 8 a.m. in room H10 to consider the following bills, House Bill 7, Game Roadkill, and House Bill 12, Game and Fish Violations Restitution.
Vice Chairman Kasparek, do I have that correct?
Very good, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, Friday, January 16th, 8 a.m. in room H18 to consider the following bills. HB 27, NRC Agreement State Authorization, and HB 31, Exemption Water Utilities.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, your committee number 5, Agriculture, will be meeting downstairs in B63 to have a forestry update for the State Forest and also the U.S. Forest Service. Everyone's invited. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Once again, reminders that I hit on earlier this afternoon. The photographer taking the portraits will be down there until in the basement conference room until 5 o'clock tonight, and then he will be here until noon tomorrow. So if you have not gotten down to get your portrait taken, please do that. And just remember, you have to be down there and have that done by noon tomorrow. Also, tomorrow morning, be here by 9:45 because we're taking our entire group picture over on the west side of the Capitol, on those west steps, which are out the door past the State Auditor's Office and the Secretary of State's offices down that hall. And also, don't forget your caucus dues. Anytime you can get those to me or to Pam over in outside the Speaker's office, that would be great. So, thank you much. That's all.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will be meeting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to receive the Craig Report, and as well, we will be discussing the new Goldenrod. So anybody that might be interested in hearing those reports are more than welcome to attend.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to take about a three-minute recess. Let's just have about a three-minute standstill. I'm trying to resolve something here. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a correction on the meeting of the Rules Committee, and the problem is that we're required by the rules to have a joint Rules Committee meeting within 5 days after we convene. And we were up against it. It was announced for 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That will not work. We've been bounced by the Craig. And if we try to do both at the same time, one or the other is not going to end up with a quorum. So in lieu of that, this is a change. The Joint Rules Committee will meet Friday at noon in room 302 to conduct such business as is required of a joint meeting. And there may be separate meetings of the House and Senate Rules Committee immediately following. Now, I think I just threw Chairman Patton for a loop, but I got to do this. So, Chairman Patton, do you want to change your meeting notice? I'll give you that opportunity if you want to. We just have to do this.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the fourth time I've announced this committee meeting.
No.
I hope the last. If I could, would the Rules Committee be done within, say, half an hour or what?
I would just put it at 12:30.
Would it be appropriate if I moved at the adjournment of the Rules Committee? I will announce then that your committee on education number 4 will meet immediately following the Rules Committee meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so everybody understand there's a Rules Committee meeting for the Rules Committee at noon. There's an Education Committee meeting that will convene immediately upon adjournment of the Rules Committee meeting. And that's about enough committees for today. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, prior to closing out the session, I would just like to inform the body that you should have had a handout in regards to the amendment coding process. Many of you are aware that we have been making updates to our document system and our website and all of our work that we do for workflow. But I've had questions in regard to amendments and the identification, so we've made some changes on it. If you haven't received the amendment form, I'll make sure that you do receive it. But it's just explaining to you how you read that what the number of the amendment is, what it applies to, and who is bringing the amendment. So it now has you as a district and a number. So anybody that has concerns about the amendment process and how to interpret it, I'll be glad to help you with it. All right? And so with that, Mr. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Okay, change number five.
Is it a term?
Your Committee on Education number four will meet 15 minutes after adjournment, or the recess, excuse me, at noon, and the vice chairman will be in charge of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, Mr. Speaker. I sense that it is time to move the House adjourn until tomorrow.
Chairman Petroff.
May I please have a privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you. So I just discovered, I was told by Senator Burns that all legislators got 24 of the coins, and permanent staff got one coin each, but there were no coins for session staff. So if we want to give coins to session staff, it depends on the generosity of legislators. There are about 100 session staff. So if you'd like to leave coins on my desk, one or two would be great. And finally, another 100 of the three coin sets of the legislature edition will be minted, so see me if you're interested in ordering those.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, we are going to get this over with.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we've had a terrific day. We had three freshmen that carried bills, one freshman that debated. I'd like to give them a hand. And I'm very pleased with the body. I think that you did an awesome job in presenting your bills, and we actually had a fairly good workload. And just to give you a heads up, tomorrow you will not see a general file because we have no bills at this moment to read in. So that process will take place if we get bills this evening after adjournment of committees, and tomorrow morning then we will have bills that we can read in, and it's possible that we will have a committee of the whole later in the day tomorrow. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until tomorrow, January 16th at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We're adjourned until tomorrow, January 16th at 10 o'clock a.m.